What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with our buddy Austin Upchurch. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm out here living the dream. Happy to be back.
Hell yeah. Nice to hear that, man. I guess, well, me and you have talked many times since the last time you were on this, but the last time you were on this, I believe your Bowling for Soup cover was about to come out, so it's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I was thinking about that, and I loved it. It was cool you had Jarrett on it, too. It's been a while. Can you remember, like, were you happy with how it turned out, like, the reception and all that?
Oh, yeah, man. I was honestly thrilled with the entire process. I was astonished that Jarrett and Bowling for Soup even toyed with the idea of doing it. I'm still just blown away by the entire thing. Jarrett's such a nice guy. It was such a wonderful experience working with him in every single way. So, yeah, to this day, I'm still jacked about it.
So. That's awesome, man. And I had Jarrett on here. He was one of my, one of my first interviews, kind of when I was still getting the hang of it. And he was like, I was like nervous as hell because I'm like, I don't even know like how to interview this guy. You grow up with someone's music, you're going to get a little nervous when you're like actually talking to him. But man, he was so cool. He like carried it. It was really easy to like talk to. So how'd you get in touch with him when that all happened, when that all went down?
Essentially, I was talking with my producer / BFF, Ben Hussey, out in Stephenville. And I was telling him, I was like, man, you know, we've been doing mainly just like Texas country stuff for so long. And I was like, I really want to try to figure out a way to start associating myself with some different genres, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm really into like punk rock, indie rock, metal stuff. And I said, I would love to find a way to like try to get my feet in that door somehow. And he said, what's the biggest, most successful band in another genre that you realistically think that you could get a hold of? And I was like, man, Bowling for Soup, they're from right down the road. If there's a way that I could finagle it, I might know somebody that knows them. And so I asked around, and I didn't really find anybody that I knew close enough to really ask. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, I don't know what to do. So I just kind of relentlessly found out where their like manager's email was, emailed him a few times. And then I just reached out to Jarrett directly on Instagram, and he's actually the one that responded to me. He was like, yeah, man, I know a couple people that know you, say you're all right. You know, say you're a nice guy. I would love to do it. And I was like, no freaking way. All right.
Damn.
And like you said, he is so easy to talk to, you know, and he's just one of those guys that it's easy to he's easy to like, and it's easy to talk to him and be friends with because he's a bubbly guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's a great guy. Just from, I don't know him like that, but just the hour or so I talked to him, it was a great time. But,
to put it in perspective, like how good a guy he is, that was right around the time I was having my first kid. So I was like really freaking out about it. Not like freaking out, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm about to be in charge of this tiny human.
Yeah.
And the day that we had our baby, Jarrett, I didn't even really know, I guess knew that it was happening, but he followed me on Instagram, saw that we had our baby. He texted me and sent me like a super nice, encouraging dad text. And I was like, man, there is really no words to describe just how awesome this guy is. I've looked up to him for years. I used to jam Bowling for Soup all the time with my stepdad in his old truck. So it was just a gratifying experience getting to work with those guys.
For sure, man. So, and you kind of mentioned how you wanted to back, cause like you're obviously a Texas artist. And I feel like nowadays when it comes to the Texas scene, it's not really just country anymore. It's a lot of things. You have the rock, the grunge stuff, your stuff, which is, has that punk edge to it a bit. How would you describe your sound, I guess? And I'm sure I've asked you these questions in the last interview, but I feel like you've definitely progressed a lot since we last talked. So maybe it's a little different. So if you could describe your sound, what would it be?
It's kind of dumb and simple, but if I was going to describe my sound, I would say just whatever I think kind of jams. You know, I don't really like to say like, oh yeah, we're a country band, or we're like an indie rock band, or we're, you know, this and that. I say indie rock most of the time because I feel like, or alternative because it's the biggest blanket.
Mm-hmm.
But man, for me, it's just really whatever I feel like is cool and jams. You know, there's a lot of pop songs that I like. There's a lot of indie rock songs. There's a lot of, you know, folky country songs. So our sound is really just kind of a melting pot of whatever I think jams and I'm into at the moment. So,
yeah. And I think that's like the greatest thing about you and your peers in the Texas and Oklahoma, for that matter, scene out there, is that the genres, it don't matter, which it shouldn't. And like, it's not, I think that's what leads to more creativity and more diversity in the music. And so I guess to you, genre lines don't really matter much, do they?
I mean, not really. No, yeah. I think it's just another thing that I could get worked up about if I let myself, you know?
Yeah. So. Do you ever get like pressured or anything like by fans or by whoever? Like, hey man, that don't sound country. Like anything like that?
Oh, dude, I had a person one time straight up message me on Instagram and was like, yo, dude, whatever you're doing right now is fine and all, but for the love of God, just please start making country music again. It's like, I mean, I don't really think I ever just did that hard from the start, but okay. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. We got a bunch of new stuff that's coming and you're going to be surprised, man. It's very different.
Yeah, dude. I was so hyped when, first off, like, I remember when, I love all the stuff you put out, but Automatic was the one that really like kicked my teeth in, dude. I'm like, this rocks. And I feel like the thing with you is like, there's as diverse as like the artists out where I keep saying Texas scene, but that's just kind of like where you're placed. So as diverse as all of them guys are, like with you, like you literally, like I never know what to expect. You could usually draw lines to what like someone's sound's going to be, but like, it's kind of like you said, whatever jams. Like I don't know what to expect, and I think that's the best thing about it.
Absolutely, man. And for me, my favorite bands were that way, or are that way. You know, like my two, you know, go-tos always are going to be Tom Petty in the Main, and they did whatever they or still do the Main, especially they just do whatever they want, you know. And I think it's a very important part of music to continue to do that and explore new things, because then you don't get stale, you know? Yeah. I've heard people in the past say things like, oh yeah, you know, it's nothing we haven't done before. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to always be doing something or trying to find something I haven't got to do before, you know?
Yeah. Like I say it all the time on here, but I feel like what separates artists from like good and great is the ones who just keep progressing. And you have bands like it, like the biggest example would be like AC/DC. They're very formulaic, but they're also AC/DC and the best at that kind of music. So it's like
100%.
Yeah, like artists like up and coming or whatever, like if they progress and experiment and get goofy, like I feel like that's kind of what shows it separates the good from the great artists, I think.
Absolutely. And I think another thing too is it shows you who the person is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what they're like, instead of just getting something genre specific every time, you know, you can really kind of see that the artist's interests and what they consume, you know, and I think that's important, you know, it kind of keeps that window open for people, you know?
Yeah. So, dude, let's talk about Nashville. When I saw you last, that was a freaking blast, and I hope you had a good time. That was like that was our first time hosting at the Duck Blind, I believe, and we came in with the Rock Night, so that was quite the welcome, I guess, for everyone there. But
dude,
so
I had a great time personally myself. I got a creep on Kid Rock, who's next door, which is pretty fun.
Right next door, yeah.
Yeah. They were like, bro, Kid Rock's here. It's like, get out of town. No way. Like, he's sitting right over there. We went in and our drummer, Riley, he's just the biggest goofball in the entire world. He's over there like looking and I'm like, oh man.
No.
Like, so obvious. But yeah, I had a fantastic time.
That's great,
dude. We got to hang out with our homie Money Mike, who lives right around the area. So that was neat. Got to see your beautiful face.
Yeah. Likewise, brother. And that was a lot of fun. Did you get to? How long were you in town? I don't know if I asked you that while you were there.
So that night or that time, so we played a couple of shows on the way in. We got to Nashville, I believe, like early that morning. We napped a little bit through the day, went played the show. Went to bed and woke up and drove to Illinois.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, so how many times have you been in Nashville now?
That was our first time.
I know you were there for our thing like a couple years
ago. So we played with y'all one time before that, or two times actually, I think.
Okay.
Acoustic. We did the Live Oak. And then I was there when y'all had Dylan Wheeler.
Okay.
And Mike, wasn't Mike there? Mike Ryan?
I think he was, because I didn't make that one.
Yeah.
Thing. That was like the, it was at Texas. I think Gracie was there maybe.
Yeah. That was shortly, like we played Brooklyn Bowl with Treaty Oak, I think that week. And then I stayed another week to write and stuff. So I've been up there a few times. And I really enjoy it, man. Like, I just like to, you know, get in on some grass and walk around and explore.
Right on, man. Because that's what I was getting at. You mentioned writing. So, like, were you able to, I guess, like, co-write and stuff with at that one time there? Like,
Yeah. Not like a lot. It's something that I'm getting into more with other people. The only person I've ever really written with was like Reed, you know, and me and him, we just did it so long together. Like you were talking about Automatic, that's a Reed Barton brainchild, you know, he was just like, hey man, he sent me that whole song essentially minus the big like bridge, bah, 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 I can't fight this feeling now.
Yeah.
So he sent me the song just without that. And I was like, man, this is fantastic. So me and him sat down and we just pounded out the bridge in 30 minutes and rest is history. So,
yeah, man.
And it was funny because when we went to Nashville that time for writing, you know, Reed just moved up there not too long ago. So I told the guys, I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll go up there and write, but I have to write with Reed Barton. And they were like, okay. So,
for sure. Because I had Reed on here a couple months ago too, and like, was that hard? Like when he moved, like to readjust or anything like that?
I mean, yeah, it's still been kind of hard to readjust, just because there was a couple of like dominoes that went after that. But the thing that was the hardest part, I guess, about Reed leaving was just. Like Reed Barton was the vibe of our band. That guy is the most infectious dude and everybody loves him. And he's just the funniest guy. So without having him around, it was just kind of different for a while, you know? And then I kept telling everybody, I was like, man, I refuse to hire anybody. We'll be a four piece until we find a guy that can, you know, play and be as cool. And funny enough, we have another buddy from around here whose name is Kanan, but they call him Red. And, you know, redhead guy, played a Telecaster. And I was like, this is Reed Barton. We got to hire him. So we talked him into being in our band. And then he recently just found out his wife was pregnant and got a different job. So he just left. And now we've been in and out of bass players. And so it's been wild. But here we are.
Powering through it, man. Yeah. That was a cool thing, though. Like when you were playing at the event, when Reed was up there with you guys, it was kind of cool to see him back playing on that teeny ass stage.
Oh yeah, dude. And like, it's funny because after Reed left, we really did like arguably the biggest shows we've ever played, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of funny, you know, that like we played in Atlanta with Treaty Oak and it was insane. And we pulled Reed up to play Rain Coming Down with us. And then, you know, so he got to see the big, like, wow, this is crazy, blah, blah, blah. And then we play there. It was kind of a flashback to how it used to be, you know?
Yeah, man. So that had to be cool going out with Treaty Oak, especially with how quick they blew up in the past.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
year,
dude.
So.
And those guys were the homies, man. We played with them, like, way, way back.
Yeah.
Like, way before they got crazy big. And Sammy's one of my cherished homies. We Snapchat all the time. You know, so.
Right on.
Yeah. I freaking love those dudes, man. They're super fun.
He's one of... there's a couple interviews I've done that have never been released. And his is one just because the connection was so god-awful. Like, we could usually power through these things with bad connection. But I think he had to have been in the middle of nowhere. And, like, I would ask a question, and then the delay would literally be, like, a minute and a half. So, like, I would ask a question, and I'm just staring at him, and he's staring at me. And then, like, finally, we were like, all right, dude, like we can't do this. Like, it's like we can't even, like, fix this. He's like, oh, that's all right, man. He's like, let me – and he kept trying to go places to, like, find better connection. He's like, next time we do this, I'll go to Gannon Freeman. I'll go to Gannon's house and we'll do it there. Yeah. I'm like, all right, man. And then they blew up. And then I was like, okay, you're not going to have much time to do these anymore. So it's like, it's all good, man. Like, we have
if you can, I'd reach out to him again, bro. Sammy's the nicest guy. I guarantee you he'd probably do it.
He was great, for real. It was just technical difficulties. What are you going to do? But
oh, yeah. Dude, they haven't so often.
Yeah, I know. So. Let's talk about, I know it was your last release, but I know it's been a little bit since it's been out, but let's talk about Daisies, man, because I figured we'd talk about that a bit. So first off, loved it. It was a really good, it was catchy as hell. That's another thing that you stand out to me is, like, your melodies are, like, they get stuck here and they don't freaking leave for, like, 3 days, dude. Like, they're earworms, dude. So when it comes to Daisies, like, was there, like, a message or any kind of theme, a story behind the song?
So, like, for me, when I start writing, I'm always kind of just existing, looking for stuff that I think is cool, that I think would be neat to write about. So I'm a big phrase guy. I think phrases are cool. So I like to hear something and think what I could do to essentially build off and lead into that. Like, Long and Tooth was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, I'm into, like, punk rock music. So I was listening to this band called Neck Deep.
Oh yeah.
They have a song called Pushing Daisies. And I was like, that is a really freaking cool title. Like, that is so cool. I wonder if I could do something along that line with that, like, that title.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and just started kind of trying to figure out, you know, pushing daisies. I don't really want it to just be like, I'm going to die and be sick. You know, I want it to be kind of heartfelt, but kind of funny, you know? Yeah. So I started toying with it. I got a couple of lines on it. And then I sat down with Reed and was like, man, I'm working on this song. It's called Daisies. Let me know if you hate it. You know. And I played it for him. And he was like, man, I honestly really like it. You know, let's sit down. Let's hammer out a couple small things. And we did. And rest is history. So I really enjoy it. I think it's the intent of the song is to just be kind of the lovable loser.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, you know? Am I going to ever come to fruition and be like a fully functioning member of society, or am I going to continue to just be a goober and feel the way that I feel, you know?
Yeah. So, that's a relatable theme, though. I feel like a lot of people have that thought at one point in their life.
Oh, yeah. I have it like every other day.
For sure, man. So, also, where do you record and who with when you go into the studio?
So we have for years been going to Melody Mountain Ranch in Stephenville, Texas. It's where they do Larry Joe Taylor Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Larry's place right behind the stage. Fantastic. Love the spot. Josh Serrato is our main producer.
He's an animal.
He plays auxiliary for Coetzel. Used to play with William Clark Green. And then we went with him. At the beginning, it was him and our other friend, Ben Hussey, who I talked about earlier. Best guy in the entire world. And then Ben went and mainly was just kind of running the studio, like the business aspect. And Serato was mainly doing like the tracking. So then we just kind of got in with Serato for a while. And now that Serato's with Co and they're doing a whole bunch of stuff, we've mainly just been working with Ben again. So it's cool to go to the same spot. It feels like home. Every time we go there, we're just comfortable. It's neat. And working with familiar faces, but doing it a little different each time with a little bit different people, it always allows for a pretty cool product that I like to think doesn't get stale, you know?
Yeah. So. Like, yeah. And so good point. And also like when you, do you have like, when it comes to the production side of things, which I don't know too much about, but as the artist, do you have much, do you kind of try to get in on that and like have more input, or you kind of like stand back like, all right, this is a producer's job. Like how much input do you usually have in that kind of process?
Dude, and let me just go off on a spiel about how fantastic Josh and Ben are.
Go ahead.
They are so good. And like I went to a couple other studios before and did like, we did All Wrong at a place in Fort Worth. And it was nice. The guy went to high school with my mom and dad. So it was an easy in. Like it was cool. But, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't a place that I was like, This is where I need to be, you know? So we kept looking around and, you know, I've toyed with a couple of other spots. Nothing ever really that just locked me in like Stephenville has. And, yeah, so just been rocking with those guys for a while.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. So, I guess I should have asked you this at the beginning, but what have you been up to like with shows or you recording anything in the studio? What do y'all got going on right now?
Man, we have a lot of stuff going on. It's been kind of wild, kind of keeping quiet. We got into some business stuff. It was great. And then it wasn't so great. So now we're navigating all that, trying to figure out with that. But we got a ton of new music ready to go once we get all that figured out. So we've just kind of been working in silence, keeping it low key, you know. But yeah, we've been playing shows here and there just with the most cherished of homies, you know, Trudy Oak, Dylan Wheeler, Cody West, Gio, you know, guys like that. Dexter and the Moon Rocks. Freaking those love those dudes.
Those dudes are animals, man.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was crazy. It made me feel so cool but so old at the same time. We played with them in San Antonio, and their lead singer, James, he was like, yo, I don't know if you remember this, but years ago, before we were Dexter and the Moon Rocks, we were another band, and we played with you in Abilene, and we had the best time. And it's like, what? No. But yeah, it was super, super neat.
Yeah, dude. I told this story before, but like I had them on here a long time ago, and it was the most chaotic interview I've ever. They took over the interview. Like I was sitting back and watching them just hang, and it was like hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Like, it was like, I loved it. Like, oh, that's less work for me. You guys just go wild because they set their, like, camera down and, like, across the living room. And then they sat in the couch in the background. And, like, they're just sitting around, like, running around, talking about, like, God knows what. It's like, this is hilarious. They're good guys. And they're really killing it, too. Like, honestly. Like,
oh,
they really
yeah,
are.
Bro. Fox is a freaking social media genius, bro. Yeah. Like, that guy's a freak. He's got it figured out beyond most people's comprehensions. So yeah, they definitely got it going on. Their shows are great, dude. They sound so good. Their guys are so nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to not root for them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. I feel like there's,
I feel,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like the people that aren't rooting for them, they're just trying to be cool to not, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like guys like that, guys like you and like your guys' whole like group out there. Like it's cool because like you said the cherished homies, but like, that's a real thing. Like you guys are actually like super tight knit out there. Everyone knows everyone. And it's really cool to like see all the, like the dots connect And I think, do you think that has a lot to do with like your guys's, like not just you, but everyone in that scene, that culture, like the success has a lot to do with helping each other out and not just being like lone wolves, I guess.
Dude, like literally 100%, the hang factor is ginormous. I would not have a career if it wasn't for the Cherished homies that invite me to go play with them at their shows. Like, it's just, it's plain and simple, you know? And it, I think for us too, especially here, like you said earlier, there's so many different types of music. So for us, we go and play, like, one of my favorite people in the entire world is Carson Jeffrey. I don't know if you're familiar with Carson Jeffrey.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but he is the countryest country boy, you know, so I freaking love that guy. And we've played with him so many times, and some people would think it's an odd pairing, but it's just, you know, we're all the same. We just play a little bit different music, so we just, we get around each other. I'm the, they'll never admit it, but I'm the dummy roping champion of the entire world. So I don't even think we've actually ever roped a dummy together, but it's foreshadowing. They're going to know.
All right. Yeah. Call it out. But,
Yeah,
dude, that's actually a great point because, like whenever you do go to like shows, like you said, Carson Jeffrey, you or like, I remember one time I saw Flatland and Austin Mead. I think Austin Mead opened for Flatland.
Yeah.
And it's like, those two aren't really, you know, they don't really, they're not that much alike. But at the same time, it's like, that's kind of the charm of it out there because it kind of is, too. It's like more of a culture. It's not like a genre. It's like this all, it's like a culture thing to me. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But
yeah, dude, it's kind of like a big dysfunctional family. We're all in it together. You know, and like, yeah, it's weird,
thing.
But it's great. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it's music. Sure. It's a beautiful thing. In the words of Mac Miller. Yeah.
All right, Austin. So let's talk. I know you kind of hit on it. And if there is anything you can say about what we have to expect with any music coming out, like, is there anything you could hit on with that?
Dude, we're just jamming these days, you know, we're not really trying. You know me, Sam. I'm aging like a fine wine. I have two children now. I'm married. I'm working full time. So things are a little different for me. So I'm not trying to rock your face off really anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to jam, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm in a country music renaissance right now, dude.
Hell yeah. Well, who are you listening to?
Bro, Zach Top. All day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Zach Top, Merle Haggard, Keith Whitley. That's all I'm on right now.
Right on, dude.
Which is funny because that has never been my bag. You know, I love country music, but I've always been more of a like 70s and 80s, or 80s and up kind of, you know. So going back and really getting into some other stuff is fun.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, we're looking forward to whatever you have in store. I know I am. I love your stuff, dude. You know that. And when it comes to shows, what do we got coming up? I know it's probably starting to wind down a bit with the holidays, right? But do you have any kind of shows, anything like that?
Yeah, we're playing this place in Hearst called Broncos, right? Yeah. December 20th. Our drummer, Riley, a.k.a. the Mooncat, is so excited about it. It's his hometown spot. So we have designated this show the Mooncat Christmas. So we're pretty pumped. We're planning some exciting surprises for that one. So,
hell yeah.
That'll be fun. And then this time of year, I do the Buck Buffalo Family Christmas every year.
Right.
It's a charity in Stephenville. I absolutely love those guys. And it's a blast every year. Treaty Oak is going to be there. It's going to be insane. So I'm really pumped to get to do that again. And other than that, man, just working. Hanging with my babies.
Oh, yeah, dude. I get one last thing, dude. And now that it's towards the end of the year, this is always an easy question I get to add in, so I don't have to think too much on shit. So with 2025 coming up, what do you have any kind of goal set in your mind? Like anything you want to accomplish next year that you have like nailed down that you want to do?
Yeah. So I want to play at least 80 shows in 2025. I feel like that's a reasonable number. And I really want to find somebody to help me because I've been essentially fully independent this entire time.
Yeah.
And especially now working full time and having babies. Mm-hmm. That's kind of hard. So I'd love to find that. And then probably my biggest goal for 2025 is for the first time in the history of Austin FChurch, take social media pretty serious. Because, man, there's just no way around it. Yeah. It is the way. So
yeah. Well, I'd say you have potential because those tweets that you and Kyan went back and forth with for a while, like, that was gold. That was golden shit right there.
Freaking Keon Banyaze, or Tone, as I like to call him.
Kyan.
Dude, that guy... Yeah, Keon, that guy's been playing bass for us for most of our shows here recently, and dude, that it's out of hand, that guy. Yeah.
Get him out of there, dude.
He's so clever, it's frustrating, because I can't keep up. He'll grill me with something just, like, off the dome in the moment. That's so funny, and I can't even say anything, because I'm like,
Yeah.
Give me like 10 minutes and I'll come back with something funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. Well, Austin, thanks a lot for talking, dude. It was really cool catching up.
Dude, anytime, man. I would love to do it anytime you need somebody.
Absolutely. Feel free whenever you want to hop on. You got it. So, everyone, thanks for listening. This is Austin Upchurch. Check him out. Oh, yeah. Plugs. Tell people where they could find you.
I am everywhere. Austin Upchurch, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Deezer, Tidal, Apple Music, Spotify, you name it, we got it, minus Touch Tunes, and I think that's about it.
You'll be on there one of these days.
Hey, man, it's a lucrative business, that Touch Tunes, so
all right,
we'll figure it out.
We'll get there step by step, dude. So,
hey,
that's how you do it. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Sam. Find us on Rowdy Alternative, Raise Rowdy, the websites, the socials. Just Google us. We'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? 'Cause baby,